So I'm going to start, and I'm going to, again, hope that I can get everything that he wants to communicate, because I do believe that this is a word of the Lord. I began to hear this. I've been hearing it for a long time. But specifically, it began in April, and I began to hear it a lot. And him confirming it. Everywhere I would look and go, there it would be. And so I went back to my journal entry, and I found that it really began to increase in April, April the 21st. So this is what I heard. Watch and pray. I heard we are in a moment of time where we must be rightly aligned and in godly order. We must get our lives and our houses in order. It is time for the Elijah prophets to arise. There will be a greater intensity and frequency in the shakings as acceleration increases like birth pains. So I heard that on April the 21st. And before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, always Elijah precedes him. He is a messenger, he's a forerunner, and he's one sent by God to prepare the way of the coming Lord. That is part of the call on my life, and I believe with everything in me today that I stand with you in the spirit and the power of Elijah to declare to you what I have heard him say. He is coming soon, and sooner than you think. Before Christ's first coming, it was John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Was when the angel came to Zechariah and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby and his name was to be John, and he would go before the Lord. And his purpose, his mission, was to turn the hearts of the fathers towards their children and the hearts of the children towards their fathers. Second part of his call was to call the people to repentance, to turn away from doing life on their own, from turning away from doing whatever seemed right in their own eyes and whatever I want to do, and instead turning the opposite direction and doing life with God and doing it his way according to his principles, according to the kingdom way. And then the third part of his call was to prepare the hearts of the people for the soon coming Jesus. Isaiah, in chapter 40, he begins to prophesy that there would be one coming. He would come as a voice in the wilderness, crying out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make the crooked paths straight. Let every mountain be made low. Let every valley be raised up and every crooked place made straight." When John was born and he entered into his ministry, in John chapter 1, he even says, "I am he. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, the one that the prophet Isaiah foretold of." And then Jesus even confirmed that to his disciples. And he said, even if it's hard to believe, if you can believe it, John is the Elijah. And so I just say to you that often there's more than one fulfillment in prophecy. Often there's a double fulfillment. And I because the scripture in Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says this, "See, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible or dreaded day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Everything in me believes that there is a future fulfillment of the Elijahs. And again, I started it off saying, let the Elijahs arise. I do believe in this day and hour, the Elijahs are on the move. You can hear their voices crying out everywhere you go that he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And even look all around you. I tag teamed with Jen last week. If you did not hear that, you need to go back and listen to it because it was the first part of what he gave me. And she began speaking it, and immediately my first response is, oh no, I'm preaching next week and she's preaching my message. But she had the first part of it. And so he's using us as Elijah's to bring forth the word of the Lord. So if you missed it, go back and hear it. The second journal entry that I made is dated 5, and it was over a 2-day period, 15 and 16. And this is what I've been hearing over and over and over again. There are two things. Watch and pray. And then, are you ready? And if I leave here today and you leave here today, that's what I want to be resounding in your spirit. Am I ready? Am I ready? And listen, it's not just you. Is your family ready? Is your family ready? Are the ones you love ready? Are their families ready? I began to hear, are you ready? You must be ready. Watch and pray and be ready. For as it was in the days of Noah and as it was in the days of Jonah, so shall it be again. Repent, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. Again, that was dated in the middle of May the 15th and 16th that I heard this. He is calling us to true, sincere, heartfelt, life-changing repentance. Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry and feeling bad and shedding a few tears. That's all fine, but that's not repentance. True repentance is you're headed one direction. You understand and hear that God is saying that's not the right direction. I need you to turn around and go the other way. Stop doing whatever you're doing and begin to do it my way. And you do this and you're headed in the different direction. That's repentance. He told me that greater exposure is coming for those who refuse to repent, to surrender, and to forsake their sin. Part of being ready is untangling from worldly entanglements. And he began to show me that many are tangled up. In fact, some are so tangled that they can't even get themselves out of it. I saw it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4 says this, endure hard times as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier on active duty entangles himself with civilian affairs, or another way to put that, with worldly affairs, that he may please the enlisting officer. The second thing I heard was from wrong devotions. We want to repent of worldly entanglements. We need to repent from wrong devotion. This is spiritual harlotry, is what he told me. It is idolatry and unfaithfulness. James 4:4 tells us, friendship with the world is enmity with God. To be friends with the world means to go along with, to agree with, to participate with, and even to love the lusts, the desires, the pleasures, and the cravings of the human sinful nature. When we don't obey God because we want what we want more, that's wrong devotion. I'm devoted then to the wrong thing. If I can't get into my word and spend some time in my word, but I can turn on Netflix or Prime or Hulu or whatever, that's a wrong devotion. That's a wrong devotion when I give up my time to be with him because I just want to chill and relax and come on, you understand, I'm tired and I'm weary and it's been a long week. I say to you, that's wrong devotion. The third thing that we are to repent of, excessiveness. He said it's covetousness and it's greed. So there were three that he put into this category: excessiveness, drunkenness, and often people get drunk or they turn to their weed or whatever it is that your vice is to hide from pain, to forget, or whatever, you know, to disengage. Drunkenness, and then the third was the anxieties of life, the worries, the cares. When we are so caught up in what's going on and all around me and even the anxieties and, you know, the job and how am I gonna get enough done, and I've got so much to do and not enough time to do it, and I need more money because there's more going out than what's coming in. And these are the anxieties of life, and they consume us and they keep our minds from being focused, from being turned towards heavenly things. Our hearts should be set on heavenly things. Our minds should be consumed with him. Luke 21:34 says this: take heed to yourselves. Jen was talking about this. It was the first point that she mentioned last week in the being ready when they see all the signs coming. Take heed to yourself. Be careful. Watch out for yourself. Don't let yourself be deceived. Inwardly look. This is a time to really investigate and check out your fruit, lest your hearts become burdened by these things that I just listed: worldly entanglements, wrong devotions, excessiveness with world stuff and pleasures, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. When we do this, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts become burdened by these things, and will cause that day to come upon you unexpectedly, like Noah and like Lot. None of them expected what was coming. Noah got on that ship, that ark, that safe place, and I'm telling you, Christ is our ark of safety. He is our ark. And if you're not in the ark, get in the ark. Don't do what they did in his day and miss the boat. I'm telling you, he's coming. And we better be ready. Hebrews 12:1 says this: let us lay aside every weight, all that things that weigh you down and burden your heart. Let it go. Cast it off. That lay aside is not just a gentle, and pet it. And keep it close because I might want to grab you again. It is a casting off. Yes, amen. Throw it off. Get rid of it. And the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run the race that was set before us. Listen, every single one of us, if you were born on planet Earth, you have a race to run. A call and a gifting that was given to you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. There is something that God has for you to do in this earth while you are here. Everything in me believes that it's written in your DNA. It's part of you, and it's your job while you're here to discover what that is and then get to doing it. Jeremiah 1, verse 4 and 5. This is where I get this. Now the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah speaking, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart for a task, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. This was his life call, his mission, his purpose, his assignment. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16 says this: you brought my inner parts into being. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for you made me with fear and wonder. Marvelous are your works. You know me completely. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately put together in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw me unformed. even before you began to be a human, he already saw you. And he already knew you, and he already loved you. Your eyes saw me unformed, yet in your book, I believe that there is a scroll in heaven, and it's your story. You want to know what you're supposed to do while you're here? You want to know what your story is? Read the book. Ask the author who wrote about you. Ask him. He would love to show you. He wants to show you because he is for you to accomplish that which you need to do. All my days were written before any of them came into being. He told me, this is another prophetic word, it'll be mixed in throughout. He told me, you must know the word. You must know the word. He is the word. You must know him, and there must be this intimate relationship with him. You cannot know about him. You must know him, and you must know the word. He's in the word. The more I read this, the more I dig in, the clearer I hear the Spirit speak to me. So if you are one who would tell me, he doesn't speak to me, I'd say, oh, get out the word. He will speak to you. You might have to press in. It might not come on the first day. It might not come in the first week. But I'm telling you, if you will make this your passion, he will speak to you, and you will hear him speak on the inside of you, and you'll know it's him. You must know the word, the scriptures, intimately. For the day we're going into, and Jen even hit on this last week, that we're coming into date, we're not coming, we're here, into days of deception. And if you are not in the word, you will be deceived. If you are not in prayer intimately every day to hear what God wants to say to you, meet with him every morning before you even begin your day. He has a plan for the day. Remember, it's in your book. So meet with him or you're going to be deceived. Then the next thing I heard him say was this: are you doing the will of the Heavenly Father? Are you about my business? Or are we too busy doing our own thing? Hebrews 4:13 says this. I don't know where I've got some scriptures. I'm not sure which ones I gave him. So eventually they're going to pop up here. Until then, just ride with me, okay? And write down the scriptures. Go back. Go back to Jen's. Feed on them. Chew on them. This is a word of the Lord in this season, okay? So chew on it. Hebrews 4:13. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes. And I told you that again, we're in a time of exposure. So you want to make sure you're where you're supposed to be. You want to make sure that if there's anything that the Holy Spirit is highlighting to you, that you are taking this time to make it right, to bring it before him. You're not running away and trying to hide. You're just going to admit it because he's not mad. He just needs you to come into order. In fact, as a prophet, I'm even going to speak this, and I'm going to let it go right into the atmosphere. And in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, King of heaven, King of earth, King of kings, and Lord of lords, I say everything that is out of order in this house must now come into divine order. Everything out of order must now come into divine order. So don't resist it. Go with it. It is time to get untangled. Our entanglements not only affect us, but honey, they affect everyone around you. Do you remember, I think his name was Achan? And they weren't supposed to take anything when they invaded AI because it was defiled. God cares about what's in our house, both this house, and our physical houses. He cares. But Achan, he loved the stuff. He wanted the treasures, and he thought he could hide them, and he buried them underneath this tent. But I'm telling you, it's laid exposed before God. There is nothing hidden from him. But it cost the whole camp, all of Israel. People died because of that. And I'm telling you, if there's sin in your life, if there's sin in your camp, if there's sin in your house, it's affecting not only your life, but it's affecting your family. It's affecting us here in this house, this church, because you're part of us. It's affecting the people that you work with in your job. Everywhere you go, everyone you're connected to, it affects. And right now, there is such a grace to get rid of it. The next thing he told me was this. Okay, so this is a little bit hard, but I have to tell you. I don't know who it's for, but I know that this is a word for somebody, whether it's one or it's many. But he told me, when you hear this, you will know it's you. And I'm telling you, he's not mad, but he's not playing either. Okay? And I can feel the weight of it. I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you and carrying you. And not only did I hear it, but I saw. And I don't know who you are, so I didn't see your face. It wasn't that. But I saw the deep entanglements. You were so tangled up and you couldn't get out. And I heard him say, I know. So whether you're in the house or online, please, please, please listen. Hear and respond. He said, you have become so deeply entangled in your sin that you cannot just back out of it or get untangled by yourself. You can't do it. You're already too deep. But this is the mercy and this is the grace of God. He says, if you will repent now, there is grace to help you deal with it. And I don't know what that looks like. He does. And there is mercy and forgiveness will be yours. But don't be a but. But if you refuse, there will be judgment. And I don't know what that looks like, but I only one other time remember giving a word like this. Do you remember? At another church that we were part of. And then within a week or two, I saw the fruit of that word, and that person didn't listen. I beseech you, come on now, as your sister, as someone who loves you, I'm begging you, if God is speaking to you, even you online, if God is speaking something to you, and this is you, and you are so deeply entangled, you don't know how to get out of it, cry out to him, and he will help you. He said he will help you deal with it, and he will forgive you and cleanse you as if it never was. One more entry. This was in the beginning of June, and this was also at the time when you two did our morning live, and I began to, again, to hear this over and over. Are you ready? Are you ready? And remember, that started for me, that particular phrase, in May. And then I heard, be prepared. My people must be prepared. You must be ready. You must be watching. You must be faithful. Faithfulness is very important to the Lord. It is very important to him. You must be vigilant and you must be waiting. So I encouraged you again, listen to her teaching, go back and listen to it. Give it priority. Give the word you're hearing today priority. And let's follow Jesus. And do you remember some of the signs that they gave? I'm just gonna quickly recap it. Matthew 24, 33 says this, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, even at the doors. So what will we see? And I'm gonna recap from you, plus some of the other things that he showed me. Widespread deception. Are we seeing it? Yeah. False prophets, false teachers, and antichrist spirits. Are we seeing it? Yeah. Wars. Rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, ethnic group against ethnic group, widespread racism, including and especially anti-Semitism. Are we seeing it? Are we seeing an increase in these things? Famines, epidemics, earthquakes in many different places, persecution of followers of Jesus Christ. Now, we haven't seen a whole lot of that here in the USA, like they are experiencing even to death in other nations, but it is increasing even here in America, where they are standing up and they are becoming very militant if you are a follower of Jesus and it goes against what they want or say. Apostasy, many falling away. Are we seeing it? Yeah. Turning away because it's not conducive, it's not convenient, it's not comfortable. Whatever. Betrayal in relationships, even within families. Are we seeing it? That if you don't have what I want and this relationship is no longer convenient for me, I'm out of here. Bye. Broken covenants, divorce, people leaving churches, people leaving friendships that they've had forever, widespread hatred and self-love. I don't know about you, but I've searched the scriptures and I'm commanded to love God and I'm commanded to love others, but I don't recall him telling me, now go learn to love yourself. He loves me. That brings everything into order. So I don't have to pursue that. I don't have to go find myself. I don't have to make decisions that are good for me, but they're good for all. 2 Timothy, this one's gonna show up. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. So I came across this teaching by Rick Renner, and I love him. He is a marvelous, fantastic teacher in the body of Christ. And these first five verses, I wanna break it down, but I'm gonna do this quickly, okay? So hang on, buckle up, and let's go. Verse 1, know this. When he says that, it's the first two words in verse 1. Know this. This is to really know it, to know it deeply with everything in you. It's imperative that you know this, to know it now, to know it always. Here, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is saying it's really important that you understand that this is what's going to unfold in the world, in society at large, in the large mass of people. And but listen. This is not what's supposed to be in the church. We're opposite of this. When we see this in the church, when we see this in the world around us at large, we are to be operating in the opposite of that. In the last days, the end times, the last, the final, the ultimate last days, the very end, it's the final days right before the rapture of the church. The Holy Spirit wanted us to know how society at large would be. So the prophet Joel prophesied in Joel 2, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, right, that would happen in the last days. Well, in Acts chapter 2, we'll be coming back to this, but for now, let's go to Acts 2. Peter is saying this. The last days began on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers that were in the upper room. They were there waiting for the power to come upon them like Jesus had told them. In these last days, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And whoever, hear me, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This was the birth of the church. Peter got up and said, listen, this is what Joel prophesied, and this is what's happening now. And Joel prophesied that it would be in the last days. So I'm here to tell you that with the outpouring of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came up into that upper room, and the great mighty sound of a rushing wind, and the fires of the tongues of fire sat down on them, this was the birth of the church. It was the beginning or the birth of the last days. And it was the beginning or the birth of the age of grace. That's why Jesus said, when you look at that John, he was the greatest of the prophets, but he's the least of you. Why? Because the end, that era, that age of the judges and the prophets had just come to an end. And a new age was beginning. And it was the last days, or the church age, or the age or days of grace. Okay? So that's there. Find my place here. So this was the beginning of the last days. And the last days, all that time to over here, with the rapture of the church, that's when it will culminate. That will be the end. When the church is called out, when she's called up or she's snatched away, caught up, it will be the end of the days of grace. It will be the end of the church age. And we will then move into a time of great trouble. We're almost there. I have been seeing this window for a while, and I've been seeing it close and close and close, and it's still open, but it is such a sliver. It's barely open, but there is still time. And that grace is the ability to do what I could not do on my own. I can't change my life, but Jesus did. I didn't have the power to stop doing the things that I was doing. I was too entangled, but his grace got me out. Amen? Changed me. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that the Lord will come and we will meet him up in the air. This is not the second coming of Christ. The second coming of Christ will be when his feet touch the earth on the Mount of Olives. But this is when the church is snatched up and we meet him in the air. It is here that we're taken with him for 7 years to heaven. It is here that I believe that the church will sit, we will stand before the throne of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll evaluate, did we do what we were assigned to do? Did you do what you were told? Did you do what was written in your DNA? Did you do the mission that you were given? That will be evaluated. At the end of that, then we go to the marriage feast of the Lamb. Then at the end of that 7 years, that what's going on here on the earth for those who were not part of the body of Christ, those who chose not to be part of the church, they'll be going through some of the darkest times the earth has ever seen, the tribulation period. But at the end of that, Christ will come back, and that's when his feet will touch the earth, and we're coming with him, and we will rule and reign with him, and we'll enter into another age, and that is the millennial age, the reign of Christ. So let's go back. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Know this. In the last days, perilous times will come. Perilous. This is hazardous. This is times like the world has never seen before. Verse 2 says, men will be lovers of themselves. This lovers, I'm telling you what he did in Greek, because I can't say the Greek words, but I'm going to give you the definitions. People will be so self-absorbed or so self-centered. That word that is used has the word phileo in it. And that phileo love is a love that's supposed to be directed towards others. But he's saying in these last days, it'll be so directed towards yourself and not towards others. We're there. They'll be lovers of money. This is the covetousness I told you about. Lovers of money, material possessions. We'll tear down our barns so we can build bigger barns, put greater and the latest and greatest stuff in it. Stuff, 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 more, more, more. Possessions. To the point that he says that people are going to do whatever they want to get what they want right now. They will no longer have the ability to wait for it. They'll make impulsive decisions, and they'll do whatever they need to get what they want. boastful. They'll be boastful. The Greek word used for this is describes a people that's not so much interested in the truth as they are in changing the truth to meet their need. They'll change the facts to get my truth. Are we there? They'll be proud. This proud is to be intellectually snooty or high-minded, arrogant, unable to teach, condescending. They know. Everyone around them that talks Jesus is stupid, foolish. They'll be blasphemers. And this word blasphemers does not mean that they're going to blaspheme God. This blaspheme is their language. Their language is rude and crude, and it's where they talk in their everyday language is filthy and foul, and they don't think anything of it. And are we not there? Even kids today. I mean, it's sad, but they'll be disobedient to parents. They'll no longer be under the influence or the persuasion or control of their parents. Kids will do what they want, and they'll tell their parents, and the parents will go with it. Unthankful. This is a people that at one time were a thankful people, but now they're a people that feel entitled. Unholy. This is a people that will no longer have reverence or respect for anything that is sacred. Without natural affection. This is where at one time there was a natural affection between a husband and a wife, or between parents and their children. And he says at this end times, that will no longer be. That there will be a loss for even familial love. And then truce breakers, that's covenant breakers. That's divorce. That's you give your word and you don't keep your word anymore. You easily just walk away when it doesn't suit you. There'll be slanderers, that is false accusers. That word has the word diablos in it, which is devils, because the devil, he is the accuser. The scriptures describe him as the accuser. So let's be very careful that we're not being part of this. Remember, this is not to be in the church. So let's watch what we're saying about people. Unrestrained. This word in the Greek, I can't say the Greek words, but it means incontinent. And it describes that all the world systems will be out of control. Everything. And is it not getting there? From economics, government, media, entertainment, religion, family, education, every system will run amok. It'll be out of control. Everybody will be going, what's going on? And they're doing that now. Fierce. This describes an uncultured people that are given to violence and savagery, brutality, like what happened in the Roman Colosseums. And there, it was very, very violent, and this was their form of entertainment. So I encourage you, what are you watching? What entertains you? What entertains you? They'll be despisers of those who are good. So this describes a time where they'll call evil what is good and good what is evil. And even where the court systems will begin to defend the ungodly and the unrighteous, and the righteous and the godly, the courts won't stand with anymore. And we're seeing that. They'll be traitors. Again, that's where you're committed to someone until it's no longer beneficial, and then you're out. Reckless, they'll be quick to make decisions, and this speaks of a more impulsive people, rash, impulsive, and emotional in their decision-making, which hurts so many people. And they'll be conceited, high-minded, prideful. They'll think higher of themselves than they really are. The Greek word here means typhoon, and it describes a time, but it's a very intense, destroys so much when a typhoon comes in, but it's also quickly out. I believe when we get to that point, it's not long before the coming of the Lord Jesus. They'll be, listen to this, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It doesn't say instead of. It doesn't say they don't love God, but they love their pleasures more. So when Jesus prompts you, the Holy Spirit prompts you and says, get up, I want you to go to church. And you just like, I just want to lay here. Or I've got a lawn to mow or whatever. You know, what do we love more? Are we going to do what he says? They have a form of godliness, but deny its power. 1 Thessalonians, I want to read these scriptures and I'm about to wrap it up. So we must remain faithful to the end. If we can put up 1 Thessalonians 4, I believe I've got 13. And we'll go, 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Keep going. Oh, no, I need the rest of it. So let me get there, because I'm going to read it. 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, you must endure. You must remain faithful. You must stay connected to Christ. It's imperative. Shall be caught up together with those who have already died that are in Christ, caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write to you, for you know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you are not in darkness, that this day should overtake you as a thief. It is not his desire that we be caught unaware. And today, if you're hearing me, you're hearing, he's saying, I'm coming. Get ready. Are you ready? Worship team can come. We must be ready. For suddenly, you see those floods in Texas that came, and I hope we're all praying for them, because that's tragic. Just as suddenly, there was nothing they could do. Suddenly, the water was upon them. Suddenly. It was the same with Noah. It was the same with Lot. Lot had to be dragged out. Let's not get dragged out. Let's be ready to go. Let's be ready. Repent where repentance is needed. Do what you were created to do. When he comes, will he find you working? Will he find you faithful? I encourage you to even read all of Matthew 24 and 25, even all through the virgins. You know, those virgins with their lamps, the oil, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the first part of being ready. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord, that's the first step to being ready. That Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit will come inside of you, and it quickens your spirit, and you become alive instantly, a brand new creation, brand new. And the virgins, the 10 virgins, you know how 5 were wise and had their oil, they had the Holy Spirit, and 5 did not. You know, the job of those bridesmaids was when they heard, The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready, get ready. Come out to meet him. They would make sure that their wicks of their lamps were trimmed and their oil was full and their lamps were lit, because their job was to be at the front of the procession with their lights, because it was midnight and dark and their lights. Are you shining? Are you shining in the place where you are? Are you shining in your home? Is your light bright? Are you shining on the job? Are you shining in school? Is your light bright? Or is there some dirt that's gotten on the glass of the lamp that perhaps just needs a cleansing? So I encourage you, repent where repentance is needed. Get into order whatever's out of order. Be faithful. Shine your light. Be the opposite of what the word says is going to happen. Stand up, everyone, and be ready. Watch and pray. You know, we're told in the verse, it's in Luke 21, you can look it up, but it says, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape these things coming on the earth. I don't want to be here when all hell breaks out. I want to be with him. You know, when a bride is expecting her wedding day, there's an excitement. When you hear me tell you he's coming, how does that make you feel? Are you excited? Are you ready? Can you imagine what it's going to be like in that moment? Or are you more fearful? And like, no, not yet. I want to do this or I want to do that. That'll show you where your loyalties are.